please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. This conference is being recorded.
I'd like to welcome you all.
Hello,
to the
Hello, Larry.
Who's that? Who just
Go ahead,
in?
Please.
Hello? I'm going to mute everybody. On the air.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Now, we're trying to decide if we should call this call. Please enter your PIN or all callers are muted. Well, until we make a decision, this is the WinFree Monday night conference call simulcast with BBS Radio and our conference line and our listeners and our replay listeners. Thank you all for being here. And every time you hear that ding, somebody checks in. Let's see who they were. Hang on a second.
All callers are muted.
Hang on.
All callers are unmuted.
So, any of the new people want to say their name and their city?
Hi, you win.
Hi,
it's Dan and Tahoe.
How are you?
Now, you notice how everyone hesitates and then they all talk at once. Let me see. I bet they're all women. Let's see if they are. Was that Edna that I hear, Edna?
Yes, I'm here.
Tell Edna by her European accent. She stands out. What country?
I don't have accent. Everybody else has.
What country is that accent from, Edna?
Oh, my God. I have a mix because I speak German at home. But, yeah, I lived in Germany for many years, and that's why. But I was born in Brazil. So.
In Brazil?
Mm-hmm.
You spend time in Rio de Janeiro?
I have been there, yes.
Is it true what they say about Rio de Janeiro? It's a big party town?
Yes, it is, especially when it's time for Carnival.
Yes. Were you there for Carnival?
I was there one time for Carnival when I was very young.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Too much noise. I don't like it.
Who else came on the line?
April.
April. April. Hi, April.
Hi.
Now, let me see if I remember your name. Oh, God.
Hey.
We had an email exchange recently, didn't we?
Yes, about April Fool's Day.
Okay.
That was meant to be there.
What city are you on?
I'm in Canada, in Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewan. Okay. Saskatchewan. Well, thank you very much. Who else is on the line?
Cinda from Scottsdale.
Cinda, nice to have you. Keep your cat in the background from talking too much, okay?
I've shut him out of the room.
Thank you.
He's not allowed in the room anymore.
All right.
We like the kitties. This is Ann in Tahoe.
Hi, Ann. Now, you know, Temperance in Massachusetts says, as soon as she says, when and Terry are going to be on the phone, her cat jumps on the bed and cuddles up next to the phone.
My cat doesn't meow, but he does the same thing.
That's okay. Anyone else want to say their name?
Nancy from Orlando.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing really good, thank you. Thank you very much for everything that you do.
You're getting better, I can tell. Your energy shifting.
I'm way better.
Great. Anyone else want to say their name and their city?
Hi, Wynn. This is Jean from South Dakota.
Hi, Jean.
Wynn.
Anyone else? Who just came on that doesn't want to talk?
Oh, hi, Amy from New York.
Hi, Amy. Thank you. Thank you for letting me bully you into saying hello.
I didn't know you at first. Sorry.
And anyone else want to say hello before you all get muted?
I want to say hello, Ben.
Hi, guys. And is Terry there?
I'm here.
Boy, would I panic if you weren't there. Okay. All right, so I'm going to mute everybody, and we are recording, and this is the Monday night, and what's the date? The date is June 13th, and well, we'll say hello to this last person. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Sure, it's Isis in
Nogales. Isis in Nogales. Okay, hi, Isis.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Isis, you want to be Facebook friends?
I think we already are.
We are? Okay. Don't tell anybody. Okay. anyone like to say their name in their city?
Hi, it's Lisa from San Francisco, California.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Wynn.
Nice to hear you. Nice to hear you on the line.
Yeah. Just made it. Thank you. Got 16 people so far, huh?
No, I don't know. I didn't count. It's not about... One of the things I learned is it's not about numbers. It's about quality.
That's true.
It's really true, because when you start thinking in numbers, you get ambitious, and you blow it, okay?
Yeah. That sounds right.
Yeah.
There's lots of quality.
I'm going to mute everybody. What's that, Lisa? Say that again.
I said there's lots of quality.
There's
lots of quality going.
I mean, I am blown away by the quality of people that are coming into the calls. And even when, you know, I'm blown away by the people that come in and go through big changes just because they show up in the calls. Every so often I get emails from somebody that I get emails from lots of you, but sometimes I get emails from somebody that I never heard from, didn't know they exist, and they've been coming and listening to the calls for a long time, a year, and they say, oh, my God, my whole life has changed. And that amazes me because it's hard to believe you could change somebody's life that you never talked to. And that's proof that the system works. And I really appreciate all the calls you guys, all the emails that you guys have sent, and the sharing of your good experiences and sending care and love to Terry and I, because if you really track the story, it's been a really long haul getting to the place where we found a way to make what we're doing acceptable and safe. And who just came on the line? Would you like to say your name in the city? You don't have to. That's not the Boston giggler, is it?
Oh, it is.
Thank you. thank you for answering. Now we're going to mute you all. You know, I told everybody about your cat today.
Oh.
You're getting less and less anonymous. Okay.
Thank you for being here.
Would you like to say your name and your city, whoever just came on?
Hey, this is Mac Boogaloo, Des Moines, Iowa.
Hey, Mac. Nice to have
you. How
you doing? All right.
Yeah.
And who's that? Would you like to say your name and your city? Well, I can't accuse them of being the Boston giggler. So,
uh-huh.
Is this the New Mexico quiet guy?
This is Donna.
This is the New Jersey?
New Jersey, yeah.
New Jersey, Donna?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Donna, it's nice to have you.
Thank you. You too.
You know, you and the Boston Giggler would actually really like each other, okay?
Why?
Well, I don't know.
Do
I can't think of any reason offhand. I'll think of a reason. Email me and say, exchange emails.
Okay.
I just have a feeling you'll be good for each other. I'll probably get in trouble. If you're not, don't blame me, okay? Hang on.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
All right. So now everyone is muted. The tape is running. And we have this amazing, interesting talk this evening, a dialogue we're going to have, continuing our dialogue on Are You From Another Dimension? And just to bring anyone that didn't hear our last week's call up to speed, as most of you who check into the line, even semi-regularly, know that we are in communication with a voice that identifies itself as a conglomerate of two group souls that both are way up there in the realms, one of them made up of graduates out off the wheel of reincarnation from this realm, and the other one is the one who created this realm. Now, I know it sounds ludicrous that we're doing this, but that's who they say they are, and I tell people, just keep listening, and you decide if it's true or not. We talk to them on this line, and the most extraordinary thing is the energies that come on the line during the calls, particularly our Sunday call. If you've never listened to a Sunday call, please put it on your schedule. You can go to conference.messageaday.net, and you'll get the schedule for all of our calls.
Entry and exit chimes are off.
The Sunday call, I think, it's not so much based on getting information or questions. It's based on bringing their energy into this realm in a way that you can feel it. And many, many people feel it. It's extraordinary. And for a long time, I said it was an experiment, and I was testing it because I am on this side, I'm just talking on the phone line, and I say, well, if I do this, will this work? Will I look like an idiot? And we kept doing it. I kept getting emails. I could see energy in the room. We have people on the line that are very intuitive and psychics, and they could feel the energies. They could feel the presence. They kept emailing me, and then our sources would say, yes, that was us. So, you know, if you imagine, we have these group souls in other dimensions, but they can beam in to this, beam in. I don't know, it's hard to find the right word. I'll use the word beam in what they call love light energy into our physical space so that we can feel it all around us. Did you notice, some of you are sensitive, notice, as soon as I said beam in love light energy, did you notice the tingles come through your body? I did. I know some of you noticed it. I know they pay attention. And all they need is the slightest encouragement, and boom, they're here. And there's no obligation, there's no control patterns. It's just pure loving energy rolling through you. Feel it? And then they talk to us. Well, one of the cosmologies in our long period of conversations, which came through both my conversations with them and the book I wrote, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, is the idea that millions of people on this planet actually came from higher dimensions and volunteered to come into this planet to be of service. But once they took a body, they had no memory of that decision, and they had a tendency to get lost in this realm for many, many lifetimes. And the beings in this realm, the humans that have started from the Ra group, are called wanderers. And the ones that started from the Elohim group are called star seeds. And wanderers are raw downloads, you know, raw souls, tend to be psychic. They tend to be wise. Elohim souls, this is from my previous, somebody asked this question, tend to be geometric, angelic. And I said last week that you could take Leonard Cohen as an example of a Rossel. That's my opinion. And you could take Donnie and Marie Osmond as example, when they were young, before they got started getting screwed up in this realm, as examples of Elohim souls. And so you can kind of somewhat grasp the intuitive signatures of both groups. And all of them tend to get trapped in this realm. And why do they come here? They come here because if no one, I believe this is true. In fact, I'm sure this is true. I'm not even sure I asked this, but I know it's true. If no one ever volunteered to come in from the higher dimensions into this realm would fall under the total power of the negative, and everyone in it would end up enslaved by the negative. So even knowing that you may have had only a 10% chance of figuring out your mission, it was a great sacrifice to come into this realm against those odds, knowing that if no one did it, the realm was lost. And one of the things that's happening on our calls is that we are helping to connect people's energies with these higher group souls. And in many cases, you're being reconnected with what would be your soul family, where you came from. And one of the great values of you being an interdimensional soul in this realm is that you have the ability to make that connection and feel the energies. And so now they have a ground crew. We're the ground crew and they're the sky crew. And they both need each other to make the planet evolve, to raise the vibration of the planet. And many of you, you know, wonder how to be of service. And guess what? What greater service could you be than just holding the frequency of the higher realms in this realm? And as you do that, you automatically become more loving. You automatically keep changing people's energies. You don't have to do big hoopla ceremonies or be a shaman and burn incense and all that stuff. You So, we do have been kind of fairly tough that she doesn't like me to go too long because, you know, as seamless as it seems when Terry channels, and as easy as it seems, it usually still makes her tired. And she has other things she has to do. Some of you may know that Edgar Casey, towards the end of his life, became famous. There was an article about him in the New York Times, and they were bringing bagfuls of mail into his house from people who needed his help. And his sources told him that he should only do two readings a day. If he did more than that, he would endanger his life. But he didn't follow their suggestion, and he did 8 readings a day, and he died shortly thereafter. And it had something to do with the pineal gland. So when Terry tells me to take it easy on her, then I respect that. Terry, are you there?
I'm here.
What's your experience when you channel for too long a period of time?
Well, while I'm doing it, it's really, really a good experience. like it seems real clear and things are just coming through and everything seems real easy. But then when I disconnect from those guys, everything that we covered, like they have such a global look, like they might be looking at the collective consensus reality of Earth, or they might be looking at the whole planet, and we see the planet like as a globe. And then when I come back to my own self, I have, it's like a whole big shift. And then all of a sudden, I get real tired because I have to process that. Like, for instance, I got really tired when we looked at the nuclear reactors in Japan. It seemed easy to look at them, but then afterwards, it's like shifting back to my own consciousness. I just had to sleep for a long time to take into account the two worlds.
Yeah. So that's the explanation for why we do this, or why, you know, when we stop early, we have to give Terry a rest. That's why sometimes I talk a long time at the beginning, because some people think, "When? Shut up. Where are they?" But really, I'm doing two things. I'm first helping to create a platform of energy. You see, it's the more happy and the more fun we're having, real fun with each other, what we're doing is we're creating a group energy in this realm. So when Terry starts, we have a group energy talking to a group energy instead of talking. There's nothing to anchor their energy to. You see, we're creating the foundation so they can anchor their energy. And the more anchored it is, the more easy it is for Terry, because otherwise there's too much of a gap between where they are and where we are. And when you channel and there's a big gap, when that's the case, it's my belief that that's when people get negatively attacked, and because there's this gap between where you're channeling from and the physical realm, and in that gap, partially, is the negative. So the better job we do of saying hello at the beginning and greeting each other and being genuinely open to start with, the safer and easier it is to bring the information through. Because it's not normal to be doing this publicly. And if you look throughout history, you'll find not very many instances where somebody was public and bringing the Elohim through in a public way that lived to tell about it very long. And we're doing it. And you're, all of you who are on the calls, and I say this, are very much appreciated, because you are holding the energy. It's not just me entertaining you, it's us holding the energy, and I'm facilitating, and Terry's the mouthpiece. So on that note, let's go into our questions. And last week we talked about wanderers and wanderers being from the Ra group, and that wanderers tend to come in more as lone rangers down here. The way I got the picture was that wanderers are like still exploring the universe. They're having fun. It's like they're universe surfers that, let's go to Earth. Let's have a lifetime in Jupiter. I don't know if it's Jupiter, but, you know. They have a certain amount of freedom, but they come to Earth and they probably get stuck here. And the Elohim group tends to come in as groups. And they come in as groups and they take care of each other more. For example, how do you come in as a group? Well, if you start a religion and then have those that are born in that religion be Elohim souls, it puts them all in the same group. Supposedly, the Mormons were a religion of recent times that had a lot of Elohim starseeds come into it. And again, once they're in this realm, they have no memory of why they're here and what they're here for. But if you look at the Mormon doctrine, you'll find that it says you're coming into Earth, and when you leave this realm, you'll be making planets and star systems. No other religion says that. And, of course, Mormons don't know this is true. But if you look at Mormons, you'll see a group of people that take care of each other better than anyone else, any other religion, that tend to be very effective in the things they do. They tend to be very successful. They tend to be very good-looking, and that's all part of being an Elohim soul in this realm. And they also have no wisdom of this realm. And if you look up the statistics, you'll find more Mormons are in the CIA than any other religion because they're so effective, the negative would love to harness the Elohim souls in this realm. It's very amazing the way it actually works. Now, I'm not saying any of that's true, but I have made my own observation that Mormons are different. Not all of them, but, you know, in general, there's a big difference. And why are they different? I mean, they're just another religion. Why is that religion creating people that have a certain aspect that's different? It's not because of their religion. It's because they're Elohim souls. And 30%, originally they were all Elohim souls, and now 30% in none of the messages said they were Elohim souls. And so we're going to find out more about Elohim souls in this realm. Other times in history, when groups of, if they'll tell us, when Elohim souls came in, and even how Elohim souls came into this realm, and because of their power, once they were in this realm, became negative, and much of the negative we experience in the world was because of Elohim souls that came in and took power. Now, I don't think I'm wrong. I think we've asked that in channelings, but, you know, if they want to correct that, they can. But this is the key to the way our whole realm has evolved into what it is. So on that note, Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry, myself, and everyone on this line. And any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through our solar system, through the planetary fields and the sun, through the outer energy fields of the Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group consciousness, a blending of all our souls, honoring the free will of everyone, while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our individualities. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us and create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is June 13th, 2011. And we are in the process right now of focusing in and to the seemingly tiny space of the area of Sedona, of the area of the channeling entity, and we then greet each and every one of you who are listening to the call or listening to the playback line or reading a transcript. And it is our joy, as if it is a great reunion when we come together. As many of you have been wanderers and have been long away from home, and it is a joy to make connection again with each and every one of you. You had commented, Wynn, concerning the individuals who are from the Elohim group who move into the earth. The individuals do have wisdom. They are very loving, or tend to be very loving individuals, particularly when they first come into the realm before they have taken on some of the traits of the consensus reality in the realm. And they have not gens themselves in yet to the ins and outs of the frequencies in the lower dimensions. And it is somewhat unnerving for them. But over time, they do master it over lifetimes. Do you have questions?
Well, to start with, we talked about there's, I think you said, 12 million Elohim souls in a body. Some of them end up in service to self, I believe. Once they're here and they understand the power they have in this realm, and I don't know if they know, I don't think they know why they have the power. And maybe you could comment on that, how that happens, if it does, and what percentage of that 12 million are service, would be called service to self?
They come in with some magical abilities and qualities, which were their nature on the other side, and they have a confidence within themselves that they can apply within the third dimension. This confidence can lead them into overreaching and over-expressing their power, as it is not totally clear to them that they may override others due to their magical qualities and abilities. They have a task in front of them of learning how to integrate the lower frequencies in and weave the lower frequencies into making a new life for themselves in the third dimension. They may, due to confidence, and lack of impediments in their past, lack of frustrations, naturally be more powerful than other individuals and may experience less stops than other individuals in the third dimension, particularly those that have been in the third dimension for a while. Sometimes they may then, not taking into consideration the other fellow, as the other fellow is so easy to override, they may become in love with their own power and have to go through a period of expression of their power until they learn how to use the tools of the third dimension. That are available to them, and to consider others in the give and take. They do have a background of a very loving space, which can help guide them through this totally new life in the third dimension. Do you have more questions?
How does this relate to the biblical expression of fallen angels?
Angels are of a lower realm. Fallen is a catch-all word, and there are so many complexities and situations. We do not wish to place the majority of these people into a category of fallen, as individuals are in the third dimension. They may become obsessed even with power and may use shortcuts to obtaining their will, and they can then fall into a category of fallen. We would not call them fallen angels, as angels is a category of individuals that are inhabiting the heavenly realm. And the individuals in the heavenly realm, then, as they start out in the realm or move into the realm and become angels, they can then become fallen angels.
How about archangels? How do they fit in to this? Like Michael,
archangels. Archangels are a particular category of angels that have, in general, earned their wings, and they can literally do things and have learned things that can help others, and they have generally honed in their skills at helping individuals in using the skills in their toolbox to help others, and have thus earned, as we mentioned before, earned their wings. They generally have larger wings, as this will help them to their tasks, help facilitate them in their tasks, help also to protect them.
Do the archangels have a conscious awareness of their connection with the higher Elohim? In some cases, or all cases?
They do not call them generally the Elohim, but they are very familiar with the flows and use us as part of their toolbox.
Mm-hmm. And do archangels ever come into physical embodiment or partially come in?
As archangels, they have sometimes, in some cases, manifestation skills and can make themselves visible, particularly to those earth beings who can see energy formations.
So they make themselves visible as energy formations, but not really taking on physical bodies.
No, not really taking on solid physical bodies in the third dimension.
How about Elohim souls that take on bodies? Do they lose their connection to the Elohim in most cases? The celestial Elohim?
As with anyone who comes into the third dimension and takes on a physical body in that dimension, it is disorienting to their past memory track, and it is pollutants or other influences come in and override their memory. And for an example, a body has many cells, it has many life forms within it, it is a composite, and when an individual takes on the body, they then are viewing through these many life forms, many cells working together, and as such, they have taken on the cloak of the realm of the third dimension and tend to forget, although within their own self, they still have all of the vibrance, all of the resonance with a higher frequency.
Thank you. When people come on our calls and they have a very easy time feeling the energies on the call, but some do, and some do after a period of time, and some feel it in their bodies. They feel there's different ways that people feel the energies. When people feel the energies really strongly, is that an indication that they're a wanderer or a starseed?
It is not necessarily an indication of that. That is not necessarily an indication they are a starseed or a wanderer. It is an indication that they have a clearer view, of clearer sense of self, not so much interruption within the life force, so that it is much like a clear pool reflects an image, a stressed, more turbulent pool does not reflect the image, and there is more going on that disperses the energy before it gets to be felt.
Thank you. We have the question from a couple of people, is how can they tell if they fit under the category of starseed or wanderer? I do know that we had one person that had a reading a couple of months ago, and we were particularly asked that question, and they were told they were an Elohim starseed. And I know it shifted them. I know it increased their connection just hearing that information. How can a person, what kind of self-test can a person do to see if they're from a higher dimension? And I also know there's people that come from different many different planetary populations, the Pleiades, the Arcturians. Now, maybe Pleiades and Arcturians also stem from Elohim Ra in some way, way back when. But that's I think that's the second question. Let me ask the first question, and that is, how can a human on Earth self-test their indications to be an interdimensional being here?
They can look at information on star seeds, information on wanderers. There are books on wanderers. They can see what they resonate with and what vibrates their space with identification and a feeling of familiarity. And then they would be able to identify with one or the other or neither.
I know there was a guy named Scott Mandel, I forget the last name, Scott Mandel something, Mandelblot or Mandelkin, Mandelkin, perhaps.
Mandelker.
Mandelker. And he wrote a book called From Elsewhere, which was just about this topic. And he said he had a little quiz in there for someone to take to decide if they were from elsewhere. And some of the things that he talked about were, I'm just recalling this, some of the qualities of people who are starseed. He didn't use the word starseed wanderer, he just said from elsewhere. They tend to be alienated. They tend to be the kinds of people with chronic fatigue syndrome, or all the new age hypersensitivity things. They tend to be very interested in spiritual things and sometimes UFOs, and they tend to be very sensitive. They have trouble being in public. Some of them, of course, you know, everyone's individual, so people are going to be on their own path. They're not going to necessarily have all these qualities. But he said these were general qualities that starseeds had. They didn't feel interested in the normal things that motivate other people. And it was like they were looking for their path. They had a really hard time finding it in third dimension. Or else if they did, they found some way. They were an artist, they were a musician, they were a painter, and maybe even an ambulance driver or a host at a hotel who was greeting people, who was using their ability to care and to be vibrant, to share their love with other people. And even though they did not know they were wanderers or starseeds, they were tapping into the qualities that made them feel fulfilled and not alienated. So is that in the right ballpark of accuracy, those kind of descriptions?
Yes, it is. When you mentioned vibrance, an individual who comes in as a starseed or as a wanderer to a lesser degree has a vibrance about them. They have a, we would call it an energy burn that blazes away, and it is a light that is part of the mechanics. It is called out from the mechanics of the entry of such a soul into the third dimension. It's an energy burn, a vibrance, radiance, and it is very attractive to other people, they're attracted to it like a moth to a flame or candy. This is part of the reason that these individuals get chronic fatigue syndrome, and that they expend a lot of energy just within their vibrant glow within the earth realm. So they do need nutrients to really support their body, that they may maintain this vibrance. And also they need enough sleep that they can then support their pituitary gland, and it can recover in the sleeping time, that then they can resume their vibrance in the waking hours.
Thank you. I don't know if Terry can answer this. If you can answer this question through Terry, because she does not have a conscious awareness of astrology. But somebody asked the question, was there any clues in a person's birth chart that would indicate whether they were a wanderer or a starseed? And that's something I'll bet Daphne could answer, but let's see if anything can come through on this.
Give us a moment. There is a correlation. The wanderer is connected more with his past, where he's been in the past, and his life cycle from the past that he has established. The starseed is more connected with the vibrance of the blazing stars, and are more hooked up directly to the energy of the formation of stars when the individual comes in. In other words, the wanderer has more of a memory, a subconscious memory of the past, which then takes some of the influence of the stars' formations off of that person and is more in, allows the person to be more in confirmation to his past. But the starseed is more clear, more like the pool of clear water that can reflect the stars.
Might a way of looking at that be that, you know, we talk about the light that comes in from the center of the universe always when we call in the light. It goes through the galaxies, our galaxy, and the solar system. And that a person, an individual in this realm, tends to position their energy according to their expansiveness in the solar system or above the solar system. And a starseed, natural positioning of energies might be above the solar system, and then they work through the solar system, but their radiance starts above it, whereas a wanderer might position their energy within the solar system, so that astrology would tend to have more impact on them. That's me kind of putting things together. Does that make sense?
The starseed can be influenced more by the star system, and that it is, they are more of a reflective, clear pool for energy, and can resonate more easily with the configuration of the stars. And the wanderer has been here and there in different places and has more of a memory of the areas where he has been that is superimposed upon where he is. And it can blunt the effect of the influence of the stars.
Does that mean the wanderer would be more influenced by the planets?
It would be more influenced by the planets and the stars, only in a more of a blunted way. More of a way that would configure that individual into a past situation. The starseed would be more with a now and more with more able to change and to be open for energies in the now.
Mm-hmm. Am I true in saying that because Terry does not have a background in astrology, it's harder for her to answer a question like this?
It is not Terry answering this question. It is us that answers the question. And
I meant it's harder to get the formation through her mind to identify the areas. More difficult for her to express it.
There is little or no information within this person's data bank concerning astrology or this subject. And if there were more data within that, there would be a broader answer or a broader way to work with this subject.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I meant to ask. Okay. I didn't mean that she was answering the questions, but that her data bank doesn't have the access of the information to bring it through clear. Whereas if we asked this question to Daphne, it would be a whole different. Sometimes people wonder why Terry and Daphne sound different. And part of the reason, as I understand it, is when they're talking through either one of them, they have to access the data banks and use the memory formation
language
of each individual in order to get it formulated into words. So that's why it can sound very different through Daphne or through Terry. Am I getting that correct?
Yes, however, at some point, there are different levels of Elohim that are also being accessed, which also creates a difference.
Different frequencies and communications between the two.
Yeah.
Okay. I know in one of the questions we asked, and maybe we could have further, this was a question quite some time ago, and I think it's in the book that we wrote about this. The question was answered in such a way that it said, wanderers tend to be more psychic and more intuitive. I should have it in front of me. And starseeds tend to think in geometrical forms. They tend to sometimes be more musical. Astrologically, it seems like Uranus, the planet Uranus, I don't know, this is probably too much for Terry, the planet Uranus seems to connect with Ra group. Uranus is the quality of spontaneity, flashes of brilliance, genius. When you have thoughts popping into your mind, that putting things together in a brilliant way, an astrologer would call that Uranian qualities, the way Uranus is aspected in your chart. And Neptune is a planet of spirituality, of flow, of
female energy?
Flow and grace, yeah. And it seems like they would embody more of starseed qualities, whereas Uranus would embody more of wanderer qualities. Now, I'm saying this from my own experience of astrology, because I used to do astrology charts. And but I don't know if we can get that confirmed through Terry's structures. But I'll put the question out and see what happens.
The qualities of clairvoyance are available to wanderers as to everyone. Wanderers have the ability to see, and they have more of the experience to identify what they are seeing, and so they have a clearer view of many of the things coming from the frequencies within the third dimension. The Elohim see more in terms of geometric shapes and more in terms of energy flows, and they can look over situations that the wanderers tend to look through. And the Elohim can look at situations and energies and see the flows and the results, whereas the wanderers look more within what is happening. Give us a moment. You have mentioned different planetary influences. And it has to do with the energy of these particular solar bodies, wherein individuals connect. You have mentioned Uranus and I believe Neptune, is that correct?
Yes.
And Neptune is more of a feminine nature. It is more of a gaseous nature with more elements of a lighter nature. And therefore, the energies are more like that of a starseed than Uranus, which is more of the frequencies of the chemical nature and grounding nature of the third density. And therefore, individuals within a wanderers can identify more with Uranus and be influenced more by Uranus when it is within their chart.
Thank you. Maybe sometime Daphne will grace us and we'll ask questions about the planets like this that we have a different take on and how it all works.
You know, we would love to have Daphne to channel.
Okay. It's 7:06. They told us we could go over and 6 minutes over from Terry's limit. But since we have some time, instead of doing a channeling, any more channeling or any more verbal transmitting, maybe we could do a silent meditation and give you permission to work with all of us on the line who would like to participate in feeling the energies. Is that okay? Is that okay with you?
Yes.
Okay, so we thank Terry. We won't bring her back. We'll just stay in the silence and let ourselves be worked on. This is a free will permission moment, so if you don't feel comfortable, then that's fine, maybe some other time. For those of you that feel comfortable, then let's just bring those energies in. And I'm not going to talk for the next 2 minutes. So let's see us, all of us on the line, all of us on the replay line, this huge grid of energy each of us is bringing into this realm, not only connecting with the higher realms, but connecting with each other. Okay, with that, I'll open up the phone lines.
All callers are muted.
And that was Seth coming in, thinking we were off the air, wondering what was going on. And
all callers are unmuted.
Everybody's unmuted. And you all for being here. Thanks, Terry. Thank you, our sources. And turn in your questions for this Wednesday, questions@messageaday.net. And we're getting really great questions lately. Thank you guys for provoking the things that everyone wants to hear. And we'll see you all soon.
Thank you very much.
Good night. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night. Good night to everyone.
Love to everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you, Wynn and Jerry.
Stop conference recording. Your conference recording has stopped.